Blog Talk Radio. Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and here with me is the delightful, the enchanting, the ever mesmerizing, the beautiful Janine El Kimmel. Yay, Janine!
Hello. Hi, everybody. Oh, yeah. Hi, Goldie.
Good
to be here in this dark winter night.
Yeah.
Liking it.
Yes. Well, you know, that's a great kind of segue because, you know, we're going to be talking about the dark, the mysterious, and the unknown tonight. And
before we
do that, though, I want to give a couple of shout-outs to some really special people. I mean, you guys are all special. And there are people like my dear friend Susan, who had quadruple bypass surgery, I think it was last week or the week before. I just want to let you know, Janine and I and all the listeners here at the Mystical Mother Earth Show, you know, you're in our prayers and our hearts, and we're totally with you during your recovery, and we love you.
Hmm.
And, you know, we can't wait till you get back and show us all those amazing initiation art projects that you got going.
I still
magic
have it
potion
on my desktop
stuff.
For beautiful bottles.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hello, Susan.
Yeah. Yes, and Simon, I think Simon's sleeping tonight, our beautiful friend from Norway. I spoke with him earlier, and God bless Simon. I have such an incredible connection with you, my dear friend. It's radiant. It is just absolutely radiant, the discussions and the energy that we move. And Kathy Getchell. Hello, Kathy. Thank you for being a wonderful listener and contributing all that you share with us, your presence and your insights and, you know, your beauty. And Kevin. Hey, Kev. We saw that you liked the you liked the microphone picture, so I'm assuming you're out there listening now, too. We love you, too, and we're happy that you're here. And Polar Bear. Hello, Polar Bear. Happy holidays, baby. Yes, another day with the Mystical Mother Earth Show. So,
Lisa and Lucy are listening.
Oh, right on, right on. Shout out to the people that you're... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Lisa and Lucy might be there. So all snuggled up.
Right on, yeah. So... Now, I don't know, we didn't discuss this prior to coming onto the show, Janine, but did we create a warning for tonight's show?
Oh, well I did say it. I think you were just starting to say hello to everybody, but you said when I said something about, the dark winter night, and then you said, oh, yeah, because that's a good segue into speaking about the mystery, and then I said, beware.
Exactly.
The thing about the mystery or the unknown, we were being playful, but from experience, and even today I'll share that, when you delve into the mystery or the unknown, first of all, always enter with great respect, but also enter with vulnerability and openness, and there, you know, you will be stirred, so to speak, and that's a good thing. you know, but it comes with, you know, a little bit of like, you know, enter with caution or not, but just today I was telling Goldie that, and I'm being somewhat playful, by the way, but today Golden Hawk and I were talking this morning, very early, dawn, just about, and, and, I wrote down the notes, because we were talking about the mystery and the unknown, and I wrote down the ultimate trigger, the unknown, the relationship with the unknown, the mystery. And then it seems that all day, you know, later, well, it actually started to come on maybe about an hour or two later. I noticed that pretty much all day, and I shared this with Golden Hawk earlier, that I felt like I had a broken heart. And, you know, I just went about my day, and I've learned a lot about bringing that in and not trying to push it away, not trying to figure it out. I was just noticing. I was like, wow, my heart feels broken, you know, like I felt sad. But I just know from a lot of practice that, and perhaps this is my relationship with the mystery, that I can be with that and I can do what I need to do and take care of things and just let that be in me, through me. And this was kind of an amazing aha moment that is possible, which really goes with my whole, which we've been talking about a lot, when you're thinking of something a certain way and then you realize, you know, the very opposite may be the case. And I love that flipping of an old belief system, because I really do think that the times that we're in right now, it is about flipping the old belief systems. And so we kind of deduced, or I was thinking that my broken heart isn't really necessary, or felt like a broken heart. I said, you know, like if I was a walnut, or my heart was a walnut, in order to grow a new tree, or to really, it would have to crack open. And I'm thinking, so really the feeling, you know, it's almost maybe celebration or embracing it, that, you know, I could be just opening up to new growth, to a new place. And that takes and gives you a whole new perspective on a broken heart, you know. So because I had no personal reason to go, and this is why I feel like I have a broken heart. I didn't really have a reason. So, you know, and I told Golden Hawk that I recall that there was this contemporary poet being interviewed a couple of years ago. His name's kind of slipping my mind, but I think he wrote a book called Iron Man or something, and I'll look up his name. But someone said to him, well, you know, how are you? Are you pretty much happy every day? And he goes, no. He goes, at least twice a week I feel the depths of my sadness or soul or of the world. And I think that, you know, it's also true that if you're aware, if you're sensitive, if you're present, you just it would be unrealistic to think that you wouldn't feel the world of the polarity, so there's so much going on that I just sort of noticed it today and let it be and move through it. And here I am and I'm good, but, you know, perhaps I cracked open and I'm growing a new tree. I don't know, but I do think that the mystery asks us to enter vulnerable and open, and, you know, and I think that for me it is the greatest place to immerse yourself and trust, because it is the ultimate trigger. And if you get skillful in your relationship with the mystery, I think that amazing, magical, creative understandings can occur. And one of my favorite things is to start to comprehend the incomprehensible. And so as you move and push those boundaries, I just think that you can, you know, you just enter the mystery, and then you get to know the mystery, and then you go deeper into the mystery, and the mystery is unknown, but then you get to know that mystery. And so you keep pushing those boundaries and just, you know, become the mystery, which is
exactly
probably pretty awesome. So anyway, just think of me as a walnut tree tonight. And
Janine's our favorite nut.
Perfect.
You're at least
you.
My favorite nut.
I am very happy to be everyone's favorite nut. Anyway, so yes, the mystery. I think that it's a great winter night, you know, subject. And
yeah.
And triggers people without them even knowing it, you know, but it's a great trigger. So, yeah.
Exactly. You know, because I love the way, you know, I love when you share that, you know, becoming one with the mystery, what I'm experiencing in my own daily life mm-hmm. is that it is practice. And, you know, there's a saying, I don't know where I got this from. I didn't coin it, but I don't remember where I got it from. A broken heart is an open heart.
Mm. And that makes sense.
Right. Right. Especially when we, you know, can witness and be observant to how the heart has so many walls built around it through the conditioning, you know, of our culture, of all of it, the religion, the education, the medical. I mean, there's just so many false beliefs about who we are. It, you know, for me, it kind of makes sense that, you know, to start in understanding and experiencing ourselves as a multidimensional being,
mm-hmm.
that space, you know, something's got to shift so that the multidimensional aspect can get in. And if it's around our heart that, you know, we have the deepest beliefs, which I believe it is, and I believe, you know, on some level, you know, it's kind of like the George work. You know, we contracted ourselves to have our hearts kind of thrown into prison, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're kind of breaking out of the prison by, you know, the pain. And I know, you know, I'm not trying to get redundant, but, you know, hell, it's my show. No, I'm joking. I am getting redundant because there's so many other spaces of media that will tell us, you know, like me and Janine were talking about this today. It's December, and we live, you know, in the northern hemisphere of the globe and in the northeast part of the United States. It gets dark essentially around here about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, I mean, shucks, Simon is living in darkness in Norway. Basically, you know, 18 hours out of the day, it's dark. You know, that's only 6 hours of light. So, you know, essentially for half of the planet, we're submerged in darkness at this point. And yet everything in our media is like, it's the joyous time of the day, of the month, of the year. You know, everybody go get happy and buy the stuff. You know, and it's like, I don't know, why didn't we create Christmas in June around here? But I guess actually the other half of the world is in their summer, huh? They're in their light right now. Like, in other words, not the whole world is in dark right now. So I guess somebody had to be in darkness during.
Yeah.
Because always, you know, the thing that I noticed was just that, for me, I'm with Janine. I'm feeling really, I'm feeling quiet. I'm not doing as much talking, just in my own private circles. I mean, I always enjoy being in the woods by myself. I always, that reminds me too. Another shout out to Punky Speltz, the beloved angel that helped me with my keys, has invited me to go hiking. And she's been listening to the shows and enjoying the shows. So shout out to Punky. Sorry, that just triggered. So, you know, for me, it's kind of, I mean, I've had this feeling for quite a long time that the whole marketing aspect of December and Christmas, and not even just December and Christmas. I mean, it really kind of starts from like Halloween, from October 31st to December 31st. Me personally, I have always felt there was this just artificial element of, you know, come on, let's get happy. and yet there seemed to be a presence of not happy. You know, it just always seemed, but people weren't addressing it, whether they weren't addressing the idea that they had to be with family, and most, you know, many of the people that I hang out with are the black sheeps of the family, and being with family is not an easy situation because they're the black sheeps. They're the ones that have awakened when the rest of the family hasn't. And, you know, it's challenging being with the family when you're the only one whose beliefs are multidimensional and everybody else around you, you know, in the third dimension is going, you know, but you don't have money and you're not successful. It's like, well, and you're not connected to your soul, so there. You know, it just seems so hypocritical from my perspective that everything cultural is kind of hitting us with a booster shot that we should feel good, and this inherently for me has not been a feel good time of year.
Yeah.
And so flipping the belief, see, it's so funny because I think as I'm going through this rabbit hole of life and coming through these awarenesses, it's funny because I can't sit here and in all honesty go, you know, all those bastards, you know, they're killing me. It's all their fault, you know, because as I'm coming through to my awarenesses, I'm really getting to the place where it's like, okay, I see what they're trying to create, even from a space of innocence, even if it wasn't innocent, you know, the whole marketing of Christmas and, you know, the almost complete denial. I don't know if anybody noticed, there was almost a complete denial of Thanksgiving on TV this year. I mean, we literally started Christmas advertisement prior to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just like a blip on the screen for Thanksgiving. It was all Christmas. And I guess what I'm trying to say in my little rant that I'm going on here today is that I'm not angry at that. And it's I'm not angry at anything at this point. But I am really conscious that, because I guess my point is, the mysterious and the unknown, it's so funny because we're going to try and discuss this tonight because you can't discuss something you can't name and you can't put words on. But what you can do is you can express how this essence expresses through you. Like Janine has her art, and clearly, you know, her art is multidimensional. There's many levels and layers. And I think most artists, you know, whatever your art form, whether it's dance or singing or, you know, crayons, if you're a 7-year-old or whatever it is, you know, there's a presence in it that I, in my humble opinion, when I'm posting pictures on Facebook, I'll hit a picture that it's not just that I like what I see, but I can feel an energy, whether it's a photograph or whether it's a computerized generated picture or an actual, you know, somebody, you know, created it, an artist created it. It would appear to me that there's a presence in these things, and that is kind of, you know, I'm trying to almost, you know, I guess Eckhart Tolle says it best when he says, if I'm pointing to the moon, it's not necessarily about looking at the moon, and it's not even necessarily about looking at my finger that's pointing to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the awareness behind everything. And, you know, I am by no means Eckhart Tolle, but Eckhart Tolle really understands the way that you can't talk about certain things. You can only bring an awareness up about certain things. And the awareness I want to bring to everybody in this kind of crazy mixed up conversation I'm trying to have right now is to ultimately trust in this mystery, because the 99.9% of that which is unseen is, it would appear anyways at this point in time, is becoming the prevalent structure of our reality. It's trumping the 0.11, the 0.001% that we do see. It's trumping it all over the place. So physics are going to change, and
yeah.
miracles, which we consider things miracles, like they can only happen every now and then, but when the 99.9 infinitum starts, you know, for whatever its reasons, choosing to be prevalent in our experience, we have to work hard not to see miracles. It's like it's our brains that are restructuring what we believe we're supposed to see that's flipping miracles that are already in progress. And we're not even aware of that. So my whole point is to help people become aware of, you know, let's do our best, all of us, including me, totally. Let's be relaxed in our gumption and our, you know, I'm going to manifest, and let's kind of travel into a place of I'm present. Now what do I see and what do I feel and, you know, what's going on around me? Because the mystery is, you know, it's 99.9% of everything. God knows. Let's give it a shot. You know, I mean, there's a lot to be experienced in the unknown. And, you know, one of the things I posted by Robert Young recently was that he said the unknown is not meant to come here to get known. That's
yeah.
not the point of it. The unknown is meant to stay unknown. So that means, you know, it's really about us trusting. And I think it even goes beyond trust, because I have had moments where on the phone with Eugenine, in the woods, where I just know everything's mm-hmm. all right without having a clue on how it would be all right. But that doesn't take away the presence that I know everything is all right in my world. I just know it. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, it's funny because what you said about Eckhart Tolle, because you said the word awareness, and then right before that I was thinking, for me, what you were saying before, you said, well, this isn't a criticism, but I was saying, well, it's a noticing and it's a sensing. And, you
yes.
know, like today why I like to share what I was feeling today was, first of all, that's not, you know, this isn't the only time I've ever felt processed something that felt as though my heart was broken or breaking. And I do love that the heart that is broken is the heart that is open. And I really feel that. I was just reading this Theodore Rose Kay, Those Who Are Willing to Be Vulnerable Move Among Mysteries. And
mm.
you know, I think that to say that, you know, it would be sort of like to talk about creativity, to me, would be the same as saying you're in relationship with the mystery. I mean, and you almost don't need to go past that explanation. And I
yeah.
think that what I love about that is that it evokes, it evokes an energy or even the mystery, you know, to me, I almost feel that like the mystery is a force or an energy that almost goes, great, you know, I love that, I'm here, you know, because when you acknowledge that, there's something that reinforces it for me. And mm-hmm. I'm just talking in terms of sensing, and, you know, this isn't anything that, you know, I could... Really, it's just this evasiveness. But another thing I want, why I think sharing like just today for me, a very wise person once said to me, when you feel those feelings, don't push them away, bring them in closer. And it was one of the most valuable things someone ever said to me. And then what I noticed about that is that, and this is really important now in terms of like collateral damage or non-collateral damage, is that noticing that you feel this way and that you're processing something, or you don't even need to, there's no reason you need or I need or needed to create drama anywhere. Like, I did not, you know, there was just a feeling. I didn't need to go out and, you know, kind of become dramatic or victim or, you know, and share my broken heart and bring people in. And to me, when you're processing these things, there's this kind of awe that I have, and that you don't, it's like a self-responsibility thing, but it's also a responsibility to your environment, because I don't want to bring drama into the world of, you know, my process. It's just something internal, and that's why I really love sharing this with you, because it's just, I think it's helpful, because I'm sure
it is.
And I have, you know, where I got this from, I'm sure it's been modeled to me. But working with creativity and working it with the mystery and having a relationship with the mystery, by that very nature, I've learned a lot about responsibility of my environment and my process of creating, and even sharing like this is so much more productive than bringing in drama, you know, or bringing in, you know, blame, or it has nothing to do with that. In fact, I really do believe that, you know, this is a great place to be, in that I am probably opening up to, you know, greater understandings or a deeper process of myself, or, you know, one step down further into knowing me, or, you know, so I think that a real nugget of knowledge is that don't be afraid to process this, to bring it in, just be with it, go about your day, and no need to bring in drama around you, because it's just not necessary, and everyone will be better for it. And yeah, at the end of the day, you'll feel good because you'll have worked through this, and then some walnut tree's growing.
Indeed. Yeah. I don't know how many people realize that the pain is absolute. You know, this is just hitting me now. You know, we look at childbirth.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, the breaking open.
Inherently, there's
the birthing.
The birthing is associated with, you know, an extraordinarily painful experience. Even though, did you ever watch that video I sent you on the?
No, I didn't.
And that's all right.
The explanation was right there. But you know, it was about birth and some incredible orgasmic experience.
Exactly. What was so amazing, well, the very first couple that they shared this with was Nassim and his wife.
Oh, wow. That's
amazing. I know. I was like, yeah, I said, wow. And so what's interesting is that, you know, it is starting to be on the planet that birthing is an orgasmic experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is, you know, it's like literally we're taking note of women having orgasms while giving birth, and I believe that is absolutely hand in hand with the idea of flipping the beliefs of a lot of things that we have affiliated with painful.
Yes,
is really orgasmic.
Exactly, and
powerful.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. What we've interpreted as, you know, is absolutely
surrender to and celebrate.
Right, celebratory. You know, it's funny because when people, just different people who might come in to talk to me, you know, in a therapeutic way, and, you know, I say, I know this sounds really bizarre because you're here for reasons that are, you know, probably upsetting, and, you know, obviously they got you here, but I always feel like it's a really great day and cause for celebration. It's almost like you want to pop open the champagne and say, you know, this is great. And they look at you like, but, you know, you're really, but it's true. It's like,
this is
a new opening. This is a new beginning. This is a new, you know, no matter what, you're better for it. And, but I do know that, I mean, you know, the relationship with the unknown and the mystery, it's such a place to you know, if you, like walking that land. Yeah, I joke and say, you know, when I've done those 12 days with an anthropologist, I'm like, oh, this should definitely come with a warning. You know, like your life will never be the same. And it's fun to say that and playful, but it's really true. And but all good. It's all good. You know, even in
well, and you know, I have to interrupt just for a sec only because that, you know, that's an excellent point, because I think it's a question that everyone has to be asking themselves. Are they ready to experience their life from a totally new perspective? I mean, because that's exact, because you can recreate dramas in your life cyclically over and over and over. I mean, and many of us, how many of us have dated the same type of man, or you have a spouse and you have fights that are the same fight over and over and over. You know, it's like there really has to be a conscious choice that says, well, you know, if you want to experience life anew, and I know most people, the way Tobias used to say it is, they don't want to change their lives. They just want better old lives.
Yeah, you know, I even used the word earlier with you, like haunting, which, like, to me, like, there's a certain discontent that could be occurring in your life that you sort of keep pushing away, but it's like haunting you, and you push it away, and you push it away, and you justify it. And basically, it's like, wait a minute, why are you doing that? This is a tap on the shoulder. This is a come on, let's look at it moment, you know, and we're so taught to go panicky and, you know, repel that. And, you know, yes, I have had the hardest time, saddest times giving up these old identities, but I was compelled to do it. And when I've done it, you know, you keep going, wow, this is amazing. And that's the result of letting go of old identities, letting go of old paradigms, facing the discontent that feels like a little haunting, you know, presence that you keep wanting to go, no, I'm not going to, you know, forget about it. I'm staying right where I am, you know, and it's a really great thing when you decide you no longer want to ignore that. And,
And you got to be prepared that when you change, change is going to happen almost, you know, universally in your life. It's like,
right.
You know, once change comes, especially soulful change, you know, it really starts just, it's like a tsunami across your whole arena of everything, what inspires you, what makes you get excited, you know. I mean, and I'm speaking from my own perspective of, you know, when I had my awakening, it was, God, my whole life changed. I danced in, you know, I went to school when I first had my awakening. You know, I totally went from the drug world into a collegiate atmosphere. And, you know, it was like, whoa, you know, I had not been to school since I was 18, and most of my high school years I basically skipped my whole way through. So, you know, here I was, you know, a college student at 30, you know, just going, whoa, like what the hell am I doing here? And yet I was just driven to just kind of look at a different side of me, because, like I've always known I have gifts. I have an academic ability. So I was like, it would be nice to just be in a place where, you know, I'm not running from the law. I'm not hiding what I do. You know, maybe it's time to come back out. And here's the interesting thing. You know, I went to school part-time for 5 years to get a 2-year degree. Yes, this is Goldie's life of luxury. And I got a lot of accolades, you know, from the people I thought I was looking for, like my father on some level, and, you know, just certain people going, yes, we respect you, you know, as a nanny, and you're going to college. And, you know, but truth be told, that wasn't it for me either. You know, and it's important to know that, too, that, you know, we can make choices and we can go down avenues that, you know, you can go down an avenue for the experience. And, you know, because my father's like, are you going to go on? You know, you got your associate's degree. Now you're going to go on? And I was like, no. No, I got no interest in playing the academic character anymore because it really wasn't feeding my soul. It was feeding my sobriety, and that was a beautiful thing. But I wasn't just looking to be, you know, still, you know, I didn't want to be, I wasn't going from being the, you know, the villain in this plot and play to, you know, to the one who follows the rules on the right side of the tracks, so to speak. You know, it was like, I didn't give a shit about tracks or anything. All I cared about was I wanted to feel joy inside of me. And I don't always know, and this is how the mystery works, I don't always know what's going to bring me that joy, because sometimes it'll, like I said, initially school was great because it was structure. I had been so unstructured for so many years. Having the structure of school, that felt good. See, this is kind of what I was talking about with the Eckhart Tolle stuff. It's like, I like the structure, but then I realized, well, I wanted the structure to be my structure, not somebody else's structure, because my structure, ironically, has much more fluidity in it. My structure allows for the shifting of a dime of attention and create it here and let it go. And people will go, but that's not structure. And it's like, no, it is structure, because in the moment I'm experiencing it, I am deeply and fully in that experience, even if it changes. Just like I was saying last week, you know, I might not be going to North Carolina. You know, my structure can change. And so, but first I had to learn that I liked structure, and then I had to learn how I like to express structure, because the way I express it is very different than the way, you know, clearly somebody who got their PhD might express it, or whatever. I don't even, it's not even about comparing it to anybody.
Yeah.
It's just about understanding your own journey by the simple art of experiencing without, you know, this is kind of going back to last week, without worrying so much about being right and wrong, but more about learning your preferences through your actual experience of those preferences. And then if you experience a preference that's not to your liking, you don't have to hate it. You don't have to negate it. You don't have to say it had no value. You can simply thank it and turn in another direction and go another way. I mean, it's very powerful.
What I get out of that is, and this was when you were speaking about the holidays and Christmas, but I also... And the same thing I was thinking, and now again, that you start, you know, it's interesting to become more attuned or sensitive to what feels natural as opposed to what feels unnatural or artificial or an artificial structure that just does not suit, you know, doesn't suit my nature or your nature. And what happens is you start to get more sensitive to what does feel natural, and you move, and this is what's really, you know, I guess organic, is you move in those places. Like you start to be drawn or more magnetic towards that. And, you know, that again is probably, without me knowing it, but is probably becoming even better attuned or more in relationship with the mystery because it's natural. And,
That's brilliant. But you're right on. Right on.
And I think what happens is we all yearn for that. So there's like this draw towards the natural, you know, what feels natural for us. And you know, I think there's this great expression that I've heard used: instinct injured. And what happens in our culture and when we're told what to do and when we listen to too many voices, you know, and we do that in our life, and that's okay. But what ends up happening sometimes is we become instinct injured to what is natural for us or what we're truly drawn
that's
to.
Deep.
So I feel like, well, you know, even with feeling whatever I was feeling today, like what I described as, oh, heartbreaking, who knows, you know, there's something, you know, I think I was in some deep natural process that I don't really know, but, and that's okay. But more and more, I think you become attuned to the naturalness of, you know, of this, whatever it feels funny.
Whatever this is.
No, I was going to say this world, and I'm like, but I don't really even know what that is, you know, so.
Well,
so,
right,
yeah, cause,
right,
cause
because
there's so many worlds, you know, there's like,
exactly.
You know, it's like, and that's constantly shifting and changing, but I do think that it feels right to become more attuned to what is natural for yourself and what is not natural for yourself. And, you know, and you know, I mean, beyond that, what do you say? I mean, I think that...
Well, you just got to live it in the moment.
Yeah, and it just feels like some kind of, like, you're being I'm drawn to something, you know, and...
Yeah, well, it's a magnetic experience.
It is a magnetic experience.
Right.
And that makes sense. It does make sense.
Because, you know, it's interesting. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we first, you know, when I read Simon's email on the air, and, you know, it was the weekend that, you know, basically there was some people in reality, some people in my reflection, I mean, questioning my grasp on reality. And now what's so interesting is, you know, me and Simon have created, you know, and not created, we are experiencing a genuine connection. And what I'm starting to become, you know, kind of witness to is that connection started because he thought I was going crazy. And so, and then had the aha moment of, oh, he's projecting his own thoughts of being crazy onto me. And it's like there's a domino effect of, somebody has to be kind of out here legitimizing going crazy.
That's true.
You know, because ultimately, it from the processing point of view of the conditioned state of mind, which is kind of where most of us come from, especially if you're in the age group of 30 and above, that it is going to be the dark side of the dark night of the soul is going to be experienced by the mind as a losing of your mind. And so, you know, it's kind of there's, because I'm realizing, God, I sound like a total crazy person. It's like, oh, but that's what I do. When I say legitimizing it, because, you know, when you lose the boundaries, beliefs are like the boundaries that give you a place. And it's like, it's what helps you feel stable in the environment. And I know from my own experience with ayahuasca what it's like to be in an environment without those boundaries, and it's tremendously scary. And I get it, that ayahuasca is not, you know, the everyday norm.
Right.
But when we talk about the 99.9% of the mystery, you know, having a significant shift. The reality that we have built our lives on is not the same reality that we were brought up to believe it is. Now, what it is, I'm not totally sure of, but intuitively, through my experiences, I'm learning that many, many, many of the things that we were taught as children are being flipped on their heads, these beliefs, from my perspective. And so the truth is setting me free. Now, first, it's creating the idea that I'm going crazy, and I'm open to going crazy. I am open to that because my whole gig is, I've kind of made myself as, you know, kind of like what Janine says, kind of as a joke, you know, I've set myself up as a role model for the ascension. But the truth is, whether I'm a role model or not, my passion and my focus all the time is about this ascension. And it has been since 1996. So it's just kind of great that I have a radio show, you know, created around this to do that. But even if the radio show disappeared, that's not going to change. You know, in other words, that's not the goal, to be the spokesperson. The goal is to ascend. And that is first and foremost. And I am delighted to share it because I do believe what I'm seeing happen with Simon is once he allowed himself to go crazy, the wisdom started dropping in. And I know it from our discussions and energies. And I'm not saying these things weren't happening before, but when he thought he was crazy, there was walls around it and resistance. And he's going, no, it won't be like that. And yet the 99.9 is pushing and pushing. And it's like, I'm telling you, we can't fight evolution. We're in evolution's grip now, or evolution's at play here. And the mind wants to go, yes, but I'm in control. And it's like, well, on some level you are in control, but ultimately, you know, evolution is an ace of spades, and it trumps the ace of hearts, you know, in the game of spades. You know, it's a trump card. Evolution's going to win. So,
well,
you know, it's just about kind of understanding that subtlety.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because the unknown is here. So
it is
So,
it is.
And all the discoveries are in the unknown, and then they become known. But to acknowledge the unknown, I'm telling you, is it's just an amazing invitation to, you know, you could call it crazy, and I'll call it just absolutely opening up to a vastness of, you know, open mind, open heart, a discovery, creativity, new, you know, relationships you would have never considered that were possible. And you know what I was just thinking, because you were talking and you said something about the unknown. And I remember I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like if there was a big house and there was a whole wing that you were unaware of, but then, you know, you started to explore it. What was unknown is now becoming known. But what slipped into, I've seen this movie called The Secret Garden. I love it so much. And the little girl, because she's courageous, she's bold, she's tenacious, and she doesn't listen to the rules. She ventures into the unknown part of the of this great mansion in England in the moors, and she's not supposed to, but she's a rule breaker, which is great. And she goes into the closed off section of where, you know, where there had been a tragedy of the wife had died, and the husband had closed off this whole section that used to be hers. Well, so in other words, she ventured into the unknown, and in the unknown, this is a great movie to watch. It's the most recent version of The Secret Garden. The music's incredible as well. But it, and this little girl's heart was closed because she had been traumatized and sort of, in many ways, unloved. So now she's venturing into the unknown, and she goes in, and there's this little music box that she decides to open up, and in there's this big key. Now, she leaves it, you know, she leaves it, but then eventually, as if anyone knows the story, she finds, led by a little bird, she finds a gate hidden under the ivy, and it's locked, and she figures out it's a very large key opening, and she remembers the key. So she goes back into the unknown and gets the key, and brings it out and opens the gate to this magical secret garden that is kind of asleep and dead because, you know, the hearts have been closed of the man. And then she begins to play and nurture the garden, and she heals, and the man heals, and the little crippled boy heals, and the whole garden and the whole home becomes alive and well and joyful, and they discover, all because of this brave little girl who ventured into the unknown and also didn't listen to the rules, which was don't go in that part of the house. You just stay in this room and you don't leave this room. So, you know, I think that, well, first of all, you know how much I love stories, but second of all, I just think that that is a perfect analogy for going into the unknown and, you know, not, first of all, not being afraid to be crazy or go crazy because, you know, there are people who, you know, walk into my studio surrounded by my art, and they go, "What kind of drugs do you do?" And I go,
I didn't know that. Really?
None.
Wow.
You know, with a great smile and quite proud. You know, I don't need drugs to go there. You know, and then they're like, "Oh, well, if you don't need drugs, then wow, what's with you?" You know, and you know, it's fun. I mean, yeah, that's
wow.
right. I
yeah.
go. It's like, yeah. Guess what? I go there perfectly sober.
I'm telling you, that is the testimony of Janine, because God bless, indeed, that, well, that you really are in touch with the subtleties. Because
right.
God, you know, God knows I've used drugs most of my life to get in touch with them.
No,
so.
but it's just a, you know, it's actually a beautiful thing to enter the mystery of the unknown completely, you know, sober and go crazy, because it's wonderful. And you know, your crazy, my crazy is not crazy. It's
right,
it's expansion.
Right.
It's expansion.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You know, I just think of that little girl, and I'm going, let's all go into the house that we're told not to go into, and get the key, and open the gate, and you know, and bring the garden back. You know, it's just
now. What was the name of this movie?
Oh, The Secret Garden.
The Secret Garden.
The Secret Garden is a famous children's book, you know, written quite a long time ago. But the most current making of the film by this Dutch woman director, it's so good. It's like maybe 19. I'm going to make it up and say like 1999 or 98 or something. But
I think I found it. Yes. Okay.
What's the name
of
this
director?
Oh, and
it's on Netflix, everybody, which I'm excited about. Yeah, I want to watch it.
You know, it's a film I can watch over and over again, and the music's beautiful, the tone is beautiful, and the whole idea is that you'll see the metaphor, the analogy for venturing into the unknown and not listening to the people who are telling you don't go there, you know,
right,
because
on.
What,
right
why,
on.
You know? And by the way,
well,
this,
see, right,
joke
this is right. The powers that be, right.
Here's the joke, though. It's already here. It's not like we, you know, we're surrounded by the unknown, you
yeah.
know, and even if
yeah.
the, and even if the voice within you is the authority telling you don't go there, that's, you know, that's the one you go, go in there, you know, because, you know, that's.
Yeah. Well, indeed, one of the things I tell people is initially when you're going through your awakening, things will feel counterintuitive.
Yeah.
You initially, you'll have to go against your instincts, only because your instincts are actually still programs running. After you flip enough of your belief systems, then you're back on running on that organic instincts. But what people believe are their first instincts, they're mm-hmm. really just reflecting their conditioning. And so to break that conditioning, it's going to feel, like I used to, you know, say, it feels bad to get to know yourself at first.
Well, you know, and I tell you, that's why, okay, so I found this movie too, The Secret Garden. It's the 1993 version. But, you know, it's the thing about storytelling and films, and I know you are a big advocate of films and
yeah.
TV shows. I'll tell you, they are true. That's why storytelling is the oldest sort of, you know, creative, you know, teaching tool. But
yes,
if this is such a comforting movie, The Secret Garden, to really get that the unknown is truly waiting for you, this is not unfriendly territory. So this is the friendliest territory of all territories, actually. But you know,
nice.
it's my encouragement is, that's why I love stories so much, you know, like the Lord of the Rings. They're all great guides. They take, you know, they take you with them. So, like, you know, it's like, you know, go on that adventure with the little girl. And
yeah.
The secret, you know, and,
yeah,
so gentleness is okay, and, you know, and I cannot tell you how many times I've probably watched The Secret Garden, maybe even on those days that I feel a little shaky, you know, and I'm like, oh, let me hear that beautiful music and feel that tone of this movie, because it's really good. And yeah, there's a few others like that, like Finding Neverland is another one with Johnny Depp in it. It's a beautiful one.
I've heard of it.
Really,
I think is that a Muppet movie or you know the,
no,
the
Finding
Jim Henson?
Finding Neverland is the remake of the Peter Pan. Really well done, really beautiful tone, and it's
okay.
The Johnny Depp
okay.
one. And these are it's
oh
just
the Johnny
another,
Depp one. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
he was the creator of it, right? He was the
he plays the author of Peter Pan, and
you're
but
right,
these are the
right.
kinds of films that really kind of comfort me when I'm going, ooh, you know, I'm feeling a little like needing a friend, and
those are wonderful. I saw that one. I mean, I happen to like everything Johnny Depp does. Because now there's a rule breaker if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous. You know, he from Edward Scissorhands to Willy Wonka to this, you know, the Neverland guy. It's like, you know,
The pirate.
Yeah, there's just something authentic about, you know. You know, because he clearly could have been a leading actor, you know, playing all the romantic comedies. And I don't think he's ever done one romantic comedy just as, a romantic comedy. You know, it's like there's always something magical, to be quite honest, about Johnny Depp's movies.
Yeah, I think
and,
he's very drawn to them.
I do, too, and I think it's because it's who he is. It's, there's a presence. Because one of the things, like, I'm just getting in my own experience is, the minority of people that I'm attracted to in my experiences, in my world, in my life, we seem to be, you know, like our intensity is raising. And there, it seems like, and this is kind of a paradox, but we're not many, but our space is getting larger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I'm feeling. The people that are, you know, going through this awakening right now, and myself included, again, because this is, you know, we're talking kind of about the mystery and the unknown, I can't tell you what that really means, but it's just a sensing that I have that, you know, we were kind of built for the times that are, you know, 2012 was built for this small block of people that have basically, I don't think we ever completely went asleep, you know. Even in my drug days, I still knew there was stuff going on. It's interesting because whatever your life has that can help you understand your awakening, like for me, I can remember when you do cocaine, it makes you very paranoid, especially after if you're abusing it and doing it on a daily basis. But one of the awarenesses I had my whole drugged out life was I knew it was the drugs making me paranoid, so I didn't resist the I wasn't frightened by the paranoia. I just kind of was playing, you know, CIA games in my head. And I know that sounds crazy, but I wasn't afraid that CIA was out there because I knew it was the drugs creating me to be paranoid. So I just played in that reality knowing it wasn't real. Just like when I've done, the ayahuasca or LSD, I mean, mushrooms, I've tripped on everything. And I used to tell people, you know, once you take this, you're going to go through a door. And until this wears off, there's no running for the hills to get out of this theater. You're in the theater until you're done. So if you can't handle that absoluteness, don't take the drug that's going to take you there. I was always able. Ooh, and I got this serious ringing in my ears. I was always able. Like I said, I really believe it's this multidimensionalness that I even experience it today. That the more awareness and the more doors that I open, I can't go back to my old life and pretend I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you reach a point where you start opening doors, you start getting awarenesses, and it puts you in the minority. I mean, it clearly puts you in a minority, at least at this point in time, from in humanity's, you know, basic level of awareness. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, that's, it can be a lonely thing, definitely. But it's... But it's I don't see it. I realize that I'm not coming to points. I'm just making awarenesses here. I can't bring it to a point because when you're talking about the mystery and the unknown, there is no point other than trusting it and allowing it to work its magic in your experience.
Right.
I mean, that's but how is that going to come up and how is it going to – because, you know, like what I'm doing right now is with this whole job thing – I'm not quite sure that it's going to work out with me taking care of this elderly woman. You know, and I don't know what's going on with that, but I have this trust that something's coming for me, a job that has nothing to do with what I've done in the past, not the 20 years of nannying, not the college. It's not about that. It, you know, I don't know if it's going to have something to do with the radio or maybe some healing work or maybe taking care of somebody in hospice. I don't know. But I know the unknown is working on this creation for me, and you know, I don't know. I'm comforted in that. Now there are mornings I wake up and I'm like, you know, I'll call Janine. I need a little support. I'm feeling a little shaky on this unknown ground, you know. But the majority of my time, because I've opened enough doors in the unknown, that and the, you know, I tell people this all the time. I never once in my life set an intention to be on the radio. Not a single intention. That just showed up at my doorstep. And how many of you people, you know, when you were least expecting it, that's when your partners showed up in your life. You know, it's like I really have this belief that the things that our heart's desires want for us, or the things that we want from our heart's desire, they're going to show, but on a soul timing, not necessarily because we want it. So your soul knows what you desire. There's a surrender. And what I'm really learning, especially in this whole three-month period of, you know, before I go to North Carolina or not, is that, okay, I can't just sit here and wait for February to go to North Carolina because my life is still, I'm still living it right now. And if you're not present, well, you're missing all the mystery if you're not present. I mean, it's like you got to be present to catch the subtleties to know that there's nothing to worry about when there's an appearance of nothing happening. You know, it's filled with paradoxes and craziness, and I get the sense that life, we won't need drugs anymore because life itself is going to be, you know, one crazy trip.
I think one of the most helpful things right now, and it just, you know, it's not that you and I are being redundant, but it really is, like, if there was a practice that people said, well, what could I do to, how could I make this practical in my life?
Okay.
I would say, to notice the belief systems that we are operating on and flip it, and when you truly begin to start flipping them, you actually see that is probably the more correct you know, aspect of it. Like, for instance, just today with the feeling of having a broken heart, and yet that would, in all, you know, since maybe I was, 14, 13, you would think, oh, a broken heart, oh, that's terrible. And I would even think, you know, if I hadn't started looking into things and going, they aren't as they seem. They're the opposite, you know, that the flipping.
Right.
So the most practical thing I think some people could start doing is flipping belief systems, and what you thought was is actually the opposite. And just see how that feels, because it really is like, and that's probably why, which would be exactly how we have been taught to feel about change. That the change is actually flipping the belief system is actually the most natural thing, the most wonderful, welcome thing, the sure sign that, you know, there is life and movement and wellness is that there's change. And so, right. you know, because nothing,
right
you know, stack, yeah, so I just think that, you know, well, it's kind of like, I know it's hard to talk about the practicalities of the mystery and the unknown, but that's actually flipping, we should flip that belief system too, because it's probably the most practical relationship you could possibly have is your relationship with the unknown. Because, it is all around us, it's part of us, we are it, and, you know, and so it's like, oh, and once you start to, it's like the domino effect, which I think is so great, once you start understanding the flipping of belief systems and, you know, what was, is now, you're just looking at everything so different, it is a domino effect. You do start to just exponentially get it. It's like, and
you
it's
do.
Like,
no, exactly.
You know, and to me,
well, because you have the eyes to see with the flipping of the beliefs.
And what's amazing, just to kind of be ironical about this time of year, to me, that's truly every day can become Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're like, wow, you know, and so, it's just, that's when the, you know, the gift of, wow, I really was, for lack of a better word, but being metaphorical, blind, and now I'm not. And it's like, yeah, you're just, right. you start seeing, you know? And it's, as we're talking, I'm just really starting to understand it even more about the flipping. Because I'm going,
right.
well, who said it's hard to talk about the unknown and the mystery? Why? I mean, shamans would look at you and go, what are you, ridiculous? It's like, of course, I'm best friends with Don the mystery, you know?
Right.
I talk to the herbs, and the herbs talk back, and, you know, and, and I understand the mystery because I'm part of it. It's like, oh, what was I thinking?
Well, is that what the mystery is? The mystery is that...
I don't know.
Planet Earth is a lie. I guess, right, because that's interesting. I mean, that's
how about, yeah,
actually
how about
very
we
interesting.
Are the mystery.
Right. Pardon?
We are the mystery, you know. We speak the language of the mystery. You know, where is it that we've been taught that we don't know? I mean, that in itself is another belief system. It's like, you know, just start flipping. When you start flipping everything, I think you might just, you know, truly then finally we become crazy.
I'll tell you, don't knock crazy, though. Crazy is free.
It's a wonderful
there is
crazy.
There is a
no,
wonderful
think about
crazy.
That. Think about
yes.
that. Just, I mean, you know, it's just so funny that we're like, well, who said that we don't have, you know, why? Why don't we?
Well, the change
this?
Is difficult, because I've always heard that. Change is difficult. And I've always said, you know, well, since my
awakening.
Yeah,
but flip that. Change is incredible.
No, exactly.
Change is, yeah.
Change is fluid. Change is natural. Change is organic.
Change
is change what's
is
already
a really
happening.
Good sign. It's a good
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, change is a great sign.
That all is
sign.
Well. That
yeah.
all is well. Because, yeah, so I just think, oh, have we really been locked in? We really have.
Yeah. Well, and remember, though, here's a flip of a belief. if we're not victims, quote unquote, of, you know, this dark Illuminati group that has sabotaged and manipulated all of us. Now, okay, now stay with me because this is interesting. I'm onto something. Okay, if we flip that to that. We contracted it. We wanted this to happen to experience what it would be like to be controlled and manipulated, because there's no other place in the cosmos we can experience that.
Okay.
Then by flipping that, it also would make perfect and total sense that we contracted it, and it's also that contract is up.
We ripped it
and
up?
Meaning it's not just that it's ripped up. Part of the change of the mystery coming in and changing our whole concept of reality, that is what the timing is that's ripping up or nullifying the contract
expired.
With the dark cabal.
It's expired.
Or it's expired. Now, they knew that this time was coming. And if we know that this time is coming, that's why there's, you know, this whole, you know, occupying Wall Street and fighting the dark and, you know, that's a whole lot of energy being expelled instead of to the exploration of self. you're still fighting, you know, that which is what you're not even really a part of anymore, because the 99.9 is the unification of that which has been fragmented. You know, it's just whether it's happening consciously or subconsciously. But meaning, if everything is by contract, there's also the statement of the contract is done, it's expired, so that now we can relax. We're not being manipulated. You know, many people are like the elephant that was for so many years tied to a post with a chain. That after a certain amount of time, all you had to do was tie him up with a string, because he wasn't even trying to get away anymore. He wasn't even trying to get away. So all you had to be tied up with is a piece of yarn. You know, flipping the beliefs lets you know, I mean, for me anyways, these movies like The Golden Compass and Narnia, God, I live in these dimensions. That's what, The Secret Garden, I've already queued it up to play on my Netflix. I mean, as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, I need to get to Netflix. And, well, because I love when TV or movies reflect. Did you ever see that movie Return to Terabithia?
Probably. It sounds so familiar.
It's a great movie, you know, about a girl and a boy. They're in, like, I don't know, sixth grade, and they have this place in the woods, and they show all their imaginations. And ironically, in the movie, the little girl dies, which I was like, wow, that, you know, that doesn't normally happen. I mean, she had a freak accident, but they show that part of the movie, too, where, you know, because part of the unknown.
No,
I haven't seen that. Oh, I highly recommend that one. That I don't think it's on Netflix. I would think, or if it is, it's a DVD rental as opposed to instant.
Yeah.
But it's such a great movie about, you know, the whole concept of she dresses the way she wants. She's totally creative. She's got parents who are artists or musicians. I forget. But, you know, she's everything in her world. Like when I go to the woods, one of the things I noticed in one of the places that I go when I set up my little camp is that after all the trees fell this last time, well, there's this archway now of this tree that's fallen and another tree that's kind of holding it down, that when I walk to the tree where I, you know, kind of lay down my blanket and my pillow, I have to walk through an archway.
Mm.
And I mean, I can't tell you how I'm like, look, you know, like the forest has responded to my being here. It's like it feels like it's rearranging itself in honor of me, because whenever I go, I am in honor of it. And I've done blood ceremonies, so I've put my DNA in this area. And it's just living, you know, through the eyes of magic and like a, you know, through the eyes of a child. And that's mostly what the flipping of the belief system is, you know, taking out the logic, taking out the reasoning, because those are not the tools of this 99.9% mystery. I can't tell you I necessarily know what the tools are, but I can tell you logic is that, because logic is that of the seen, and this is the unseen playing its part. And, you know, imagination. I highly recommend it. I don't have a clue on how it works, I just know it's such an incredible buddy to have. You know, it's a great ally, as Janine would put it. It's a great ally.
What I'm thinking, though, is with what you were saying about almost like how I see it is the contracts have expired, that perhaps that is why I in particular, but you too, that the ability to flip the belief system seems easier. I don't even think that 3 years ago I was thinking that. I think that it's been accelerating to the point where all of a sudden flipping belief systems seems like just the thing to do for me, and I'm doing it easier, and I'm getting a lot out of it, and so perhaps it is sort of not only me on my, you know, personal expansion, but also that it is the times, you know, that there's something has been lifted, or and there is an ease in flipping belief systems.
I agree.
More of a need to flip belief systems. There's, you know, and
there is more of a need. Yes.
Yeah.
We're no longer producing linear. We are producing multidimensionally. Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, it's so funny because it's just something that comes up for me every time we talk on Monday and Thursday, that I find flipping belief systems so important to say or talk about, because it's happening
right on,
for
babe.
Me. Yeah,
right on.
It's happening for
right
me.
On. Well, so, it's happening for all of us. I mean, and if it's not happening for you, I can almost promise you your life is miserable if you're not flipping belief systems.
Yeah, like
because
Well,
miserable just in the sense of if you're still trying to find center based on the contracts of the conditioning.
Yeah.
The contracts
like
of conditioning were to keep you out of center. You know,
like
don't go into the dark. Don't face your fears. Pardon?
No, I was thinking of something, but
Share. Go ahead.
No, well, even the small thing of the belief system that you locking your keys in the car was in an old paradigm, that wouldn't have been, you know, it would have been just a big hassle and a pain in the neck, and you know. But look what happened from you locking the keys in your car. You know, you met.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I met Punky.
Yeah. And but that happens to me now so much, where if I had an old paradigm, or, you know, something that, like the battery going dead in my car, I just don't handle things the same anymore. You know, they're just different, you know, where you're like, and I think that you just start seeing things differently, and maybe it's just a presence, so that you're not seeing it as, oh, you're so stupid, or, you know, oh, you should have had your battery fixed a long time ago, or, you know, it just doesn't work that way anymore. And, you know, and so those little things, even, you know, not just even the big stuff. So you just start seeing things differently, and in your day you start handling things differently. And,
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you don't create as much. I mean, think about if you lock your keys in the car and something kind of incredible or wonderful happens because you meet someone special, and you know, or you know, my battery goes dead and I ask someone to help me and they're really amazing, and somehow I probably make their day and they make mine. Well, isn't that better than creating some kind of negative drama in the world? You know, I mean, it actually became a positive thing, you know?
Yeah.
And And so,
yeah. And in fact, it could have been completely, you know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I looked around and I saw a lot of houses. I went to one house before I went to Punky's, and I mean, I was like, it's funny because if I thought I had to walk like 5 miles, I you know, like I hike, but I am not hiking 5 miles. You know, I'm pretty much hiking about probably half a mile in, you know, chilling out half a mile back. But, you know, truth be told, she was right around the corner. I mean, I swear it's almost like the fact that her name is Punky, which is what my father is called. You know, I'm really like, there's so many there's so many subtleties pointing that it was not negative at all. I mean, that's the first time. Okay, I am like a schizophrenic. I can't even finish my own thoughts in my head. It's so funny. The fact that we are talking about the mysteries of life and unknown. Janine, remember the time we talked on the phone when I was processing and I couldn't create a sentence?
Yes, and I think you were integrating.
Yes, well, I don't think that I'm integrating, but when you intend to talk about something that because for me it is hard to talk about, my mind is all over the place tonight, and I can hear it in the things I'm sharing. It's like, Goldie, you are not completing thoughts in your stick. And beautifully,
just go with that, because that's not my experience of what you're saying, because, and, you know, perhaps it's because, you know, I fly with you very well, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel you're all over the place.
Ah, and I feel like I keep stopping short. Okay, that's just a thought then. Thank you. Well, what I was trying to say is that, I mean, it felt almost planned. I was supposed to meet this woman, and, you know, now she's reaching out. She listens to the show. She loves the show. She wants to go hiking together, and, you know, I'm going, you know, I don't know what this is leading to, but I'm definitely open to it. I mean, first of all, she's been nothing but kind to me and offering me, you know, more and more joy to experience her. It's like, wow, yeah, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Let's play with this. Because once I realized that the house that I knocked on was literally just, you know, just a jump throw away from where the car was parked, I mean, there was nothing negative about it. If I had to walk 10 miles, that would have been a little negative. But there wasn't that. I mean, it was...
It's just a different experience, though, from what could have been, and, you know, and that's just one small example of, you know, I don't know, that it's just noticing how we handle things differently now, and what could be perceived as mistakes or, you know, misfortunes are actually openings, and, you know, and create new possibilities, and,
Definitely.
Life just takes on a different feel. It just does. I mean,
it does. No, absolutely.
And that's what ends up happening for me with creativity, is that I just, you know, you move along in this process, and you're not really thinking, but you're just in this place of playing, but you're somehow gaining, and your life is enhanced, and that's just how I've noticed in the last. It's funny because since we've been doing the radio show, which I do think processing on the radio has a way of not empowering, but increasing,
enhancing
or increasing,
because.
And we're talking, to an audience, and it just seems like it's amplifying. That's it, amplifying.
Okay, yeah.
Amplifying my understanding and the everyday occurrences. That's how it feels, you know. So, yeah, so it's pretty amazing to be able to do this on the radio and feel this kind of domino effect.
Definitely.
Yeah, so... So how are you doing?
Well, I'm a little schizophrenic tonight. I admit it, but I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm going through some stuff, you know, like our daily stuff. I don't know. I'm just kind of. I've always basically said from Halloween to January 1st, let's just get through it.
Yeah,
personally.
Yeah.
Let's just get beyond all the, I mean, in my humble opinion, all the kooky bird nonsense of, you know, just the craziness that, at least in America, and not just America, I mean, I live in essentially the Beverly Hills of the East Coast. So, you know, there's a lot of focus, you know, on the external aspects, you know. People, you know, I mean, I have my friends on Facebook, but ironically what I noticed is most of my friends on Facebook are in other states and or other countries. You know, so there's just a kookiness that, you know, if it's going to be dark, I just assume leave all that, leave it alone. I'm personally excited, very excited, to go into 2012. You know what, though? I'm going to share some stuff. Also, if anybody wants to call in and, you know, share a mysterious moment or how they've encompassed the unknown, or if they want to do some processing on the air, 646-929-2084. We absolutely welcome anybody that wants to share, set an intention, anything you guys want, just to say hi even. Anyways, one of the things I've been thinking about is, New Year's Eve, I'm just going to throw this out there now for you guys to know about. New Year's Eve, there's a good chance me and Janine are going to do a show. And one
it's
of the things
Saturday.
I've been thinking of.
It's a Saturday.
Yep. It's the actual New Year's Eve show. We'll also, you know, we're still going to do our Monday and Thursday shows. But I wanted to do a show on New Year's Eve because I have been thinking about this lately that because of my belief systems and where I am now, I'm never going to get married in this lifetime because the whole structure of what that entails from government, I just don't believe in the quote-unquote institution of marriage. But I do believe in the art of celebrating union.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Janine were talking, and because I love to play in my imagination, what I was playing around in my head is that on New Year's Eve, I want to do a show where we all do basically marriages to our higher selves or I am presence or fifth dimensional beings, whatever you want to call it, but that we're all going to share this on the air. And it'll be open, I'm going to suggest for people to write their own vows to themselves.
Mm.
And, you know, you can express it personally. You can call in and express it. You know, I'm going to see if I can find something on the air or pre-tape something, you know, that'll kind of walk us through this. And, you know, it's nothing that, you know, you not going to be a scholastic thing. It's just going to be a trip in our imaginations of kind of like, you know, for me it felt that if I did a ceremony marrying me to my higher self,
mm-hmm.
it's just another, it's kind of like another form of initiation art.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah,
Yeah, that locks me in. You know, just another way of saying, you know, I am ascending. And I'm acknowledging it. And so if anybody else is feeling, you know, called to do this, and it'll be fun and quirky and playful and serious if you want to take it serious, you know, meaning you can bring any energy you want to this. I just know I'm called to do it. Janine and me are both pretty much low-key people. We're not really, you know, out and about in the town on New Year's Eve. And there's lots of people that might not be out and about in the town on New Year's Eve. And if you want to tune in, you know, and share that night with us, that's going to be the intention. And, you know, it'll just be fun and playful. And, you know, we can go the whole 3 hours if we need to get everybody, you know, that mm-hmm. wants to share, you know, saying something on the radio. Because it's exactly like Janine was just saying. When you express things on the air, there really is an enhancement of, you know, all that you're expressing. And I think because, you know, it gets replayed, lots of people, it touches lots of lives. So I invite you all to contemplate that. And if you want to join us, December 31st. We're not sure what time we're going to do the show, but more than likely it'll be from 8 to 10 because we're also both not, you know, staying up till midnight to do this. It would be a little kooky for us. And,
we want to have our energy with us. But I love that you're even putting it out there, you know, now, because it's a nice, you know, it's kind of something to think about, just sort of hold with you, and then, you know, see how you feel about it, and then if it feels right. And yeah, I think that's a great idea to write an intention or a vow. You know, you could just hold it silently with yourself, or you can read it out loud or whatever. But I think the preparation time, you know, I'm a big one for spontaneity, but I really like this this sort of knowing ahead of time, letting it sort of, you know, seep in and yeah, it seems thoughtful to me. So, and probably even more, you know, amplification, like to So that feels really good.
And just so you know, this is we're just going to marry ourselves. You know, maybe we can do another show if people want to marry each other. This particular show is really about marrying your I am presence. I just want to be clear on that. So all the vows you write are literally vows to self.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, you can consider it a future self, an expanded self, whatever. I'm really looking forward to this. I was going to do this anyways. And the way that it's morphing to do it on the air and with Janine, you know, God bless my partner and the enchanting Janine, I couldn't be more pleased the way this is all morphing. I'm excited about it. And because I'm also really excited. 2012, you know, wow, you know, all of us that are here, you know, like we're really here. This is going to be a big year, and I don't know if it's, how it's going to show up big, but you know, if 2011 was anything in preparation for 2012, you know, which of course, in my humble opinion and belief, it is absolutely everything we've been through this year is in preparation for what's coming next year. So that means there's still great changes to be aware of. You know, it's almost like George says, you know, we make it through the fifth dimension just to become balanced as one again. Then the ascension takes place from there. You can't go straight from this polarity into your ascension. We have to balance ourselves. And you can only balance yourself in the fifth dimension because that's when you're unified. That's when you're not seven chakras, you're one chakra. That's why all this talk about chakras, 7, 12, 29, 59, 144, as long as there any of the teachings are speaking about the chakras from a separate point of view, you're really only in the high fourth dimension. It's you're not unified until you're one chakra, one unified chakra, and that is the sun. The sun, instead of it being outside, the sun will be within us. So anyways, you know, and yes, put that in your
That sounds like a great vow.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's sounds already like the New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Maybe
for, well, yeah,
already,
right on.
Maybe,
oh,
maybe
you just gave me a great idea that, okay. Oh, yes.
Maybe
yes.
It just arrived. Happy New Year,
well, it's
everybody.
Coming.
Happy New Year.
Yes, we have time warp. Today is actually, even though, how many of
that's
you guys are experiencing?
That's fabulous.
Yeah, time things, like,
yeah.
First of all, these shows that we've been doing are definitely going by. 2 hours for me and Janine feel like, you know, 27 minutes, in my humble opinion. But
I know.
But what day is it? You know, things are just, times, you know, some days the day, like, I can't get from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the afternoon will take 3 weeks. Other days, you know, 8 o'clock, the next thing I know, it's 8 o'clock at night, and it happened in, like, 4 hours. And time is very flexible and malleable for me lately. And it's interesting because I have essentially eliminated everything in my life that I don't like doing. There's nothing in my life that I am not enjoying. and that's what comes from the releasing
that
of everything.
Great. That is great.
Yeah, I'm a clean slate, and time
that
has absolutely gone, you know, pretty much haywire, bonky bird. In that I don't know what's going on, but I'm in joy truly most of the time. I mean, joy is not the same as happy. Joy is in the sense I'm pretty much aware of my present moment experiences and. I'm relatively stable, and you know, if something tilts me, I'm very conscious. Okay, I'm going to go in and process, and I have, you know, my fabulous partner Janine who helps me, you know, talk it out and understand it within, and I'm, you know, I feel very prepared. I mean, that is for me. 2011 seemed to be a very preparatory year, whether people are aware of that or not. For me, I'm aware of it. And so this awareness is coming for a reason, and this the releasing of almost everything you know, I thought was going to be my, you know, next step. With the releasing of that, it's like, okay, so, you know, let the unknown bring it to me now, because I can't intend it if it's the unknown. I don't even know, I wouldn't know what it is or how it's going to come or what shape it's going to take. But
yeah,
but I feel prepared, and the wedding feels right.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, my webmaster, Alan, he loves the show, and I don't know if he's listening right now, but...
Oh, right, shout out for Alan. Got to put him down for next time.
I sent him as a gift, and I know he would have really loved it with Nassim's Black Hole DVD.
Oh,
and,
right, that's right, yes.
And he absolutely loved it and said,
nice.
Yeah, and you know, what I find about Nassim, because it was just reminding me, as you were saying, preparatory 2011, and, you know, just these understandings and the flipping of belief systems is just more apparent than ever. And I'm just thinking how much watching his understanding of things and his way of explaining things, Nassim's way, visually as well, like with the unfolding. I don't know. It just seems to have helped me. It's almost like a fostering. It fosters my ability or my perception. And just as you were listening to that, you were saying that, I was thinking, wow. And I know you've watched it too, and then you sent it to me, and I've watched it at least 4 times. And
I was going to say several times.
Yeah, I think his work is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and what's really nice about, see, the thing about, like, even this time of year. This is a good time to sort of, you know, pull in some great movies, like, you know, like the children's movies that I find so helpful, but also Nassim's work. I love Nassim's.
I do too.
If you have available. Yeah. Yeah. Now I find myself, for some reason, drawing so many spirals anymore. It's like, oh my God.
Well, that's funny that you say, because people are talking in circles, literally. I'm seeing it on Facebook. They're going, yes, it's a circle. It's a circle. Life is a circle. And I'll interrupt basically and go, it appears like it's a circle, but it's actually a spiral.
Yeah, because as you were talking, I just looked down and here it was. I was like doodling a spiral. And
nice.
I, you know, yeah. And then it was, of course, I have these beautiful highlighting markers here. And it's green and yellow and pink. And I was like, wow, you know, but that just... seems to be kind of the expansion.
Wow, Janine,
symbol.
That is. I'm gonna have to post. I'll post one. Remember, I told you I started to draw today and got real frustrated.
Yeah.
Spirals were definitely a part of it, and
oh,
I was doing triple
so
marker, triple marker spirals.
Oh, see, that's what I have here.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't tell you I did that.
No.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Talking on the radio sure does do things.
It definitely does. Life is exploding with presents. I invite you all to capture some.
Yes, yes. And telepathic communication, you know?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, great. Truly great.
Hey, can I read that Simon thing? I want to read that thing that Simon wrote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, Simon doesn't mind.
Yeah, no, I already talked to him this afternoon. So this was really deep, and it's on the brilliance level of Janine. So, this is about Simon expressing what it's like to be an artist. So he wrote, art is difficult. Doing art is, first of all, a power struggle. It's not that the drawings are too much in your mind. It's the mind that wants in on the drawing. That's exactly how it is. This is a good topic we should go into depths about. Seems like you're offline. I'll just continue. And I was offline, and he did continue, which was so fabulous. He just had this conversation with himself, knowing I would read it, of course. I feel art relates very much to the alchemical process of the mind. And the man-made purpose of creating art is essentially to let one's mind go away. To create art, one needs space. And it's the too much want that takes up too much of it. We often have ideas in our head and think to ourselves, oh, my God, that's exactly how I want to make it. And we try, and it doesn't turn out that way, and we can feel disappointed because you think your idea was better than the drawing in front of you. And I say, no, 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 you have created exactly what you came to do. The creative force isn't something to be commanded into your fingertips. It is a source of self, and one must work together with it, treat it with respect and kindness.
Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Oh, treat it with respect and kindness.
Yeah,
and
it can't be commanded. Can't. That is definitely one of the things I know from my own building of Merkabahs and, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many people
right.
are telling us to do something with our minds to create this experience of the ascension. And it is not the mind that knows art.
Mm-mm.
It's the essence, the imagination, feelings. I mean, I know when I look at certain people's art, I can feel, like, I think one of the reasons why Van Gogh was such a profound artist is what the feelings that he was feeling while he was painting these paintings, you can feel when you look even at a print, even at something
mm-hmm.
that wasn't necessarily intended. Or I'll give you another example. Alex Gray, with all his energetic, you know, the beings, the physical. I don't know if you've ever been to his studio when it was in New York. But,
no, but I've seen really, really beautiful prints of his.
Whew.
Yeah.
It literally, where the art was hung in his studio, it was 10 degrees warmer than any other place. And, you know, I asked him, I was like, is there heating ducts? And they were like, no, he actually likes us to keep it cold because there were oil paints. I go, so what's the heat? And they looked at me, and I go, oh, well, yeah, it's just that presence. You know, you're painting that many beings open. And so I think people underestimate, you know, there's a movie called something about chocolate, where the woman, every time she cooks a meal, whatever she's feeling when she's cooking it, when they sit at the table, everybody who eats it starts feeling what she was feeling when she was cooking it.
No, I've not seen that.
It's a foreign film, and it was actually beautifully done. I'll post it on Facebook. I have it queued up in my Netflix, but I don't have Netflix up right now. And so the reason why I say this is, so art is really an expression of the unknown and the mystery moving through us, you know.
Yes.
So it's not just what we're putting on paper. What are we feeling when we're putting on that paper? What are we experiencing when we're putting on that paper? Because that's also actually in the paper or in the canvas or whatever it is that, you know, you're painting or creating on. Or if you're dancing or if you're singing, you know, you hear it all the time on these shows, you know, they're not singing with their feelings. You know, they're coming out just from the top end of their lungs, and you hear it all the time. But you got to drop into your gut. You got to feel the song, because that is what I believe is, you know, the magic.
Yeah.
In the things that don't necessarily make sense, but to the soul make perfect sense. I mean, total.
Yeah. And the thing when he says seems like the mind wants in, which, you know. You know, it is a letting go. It is a cooperating just with the mystery, and you know, in the mystery, you know, I'm beginning to see that we are the mystery. So, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, the higher self, and the we're within and we're without, and you know, and that's probably another way of talking about that marriage. But but I do. what he wrote was really, you know, it's hard to put to words what art is and creativity is, but when you tap in like that, like he did, and, you know, you can actually capture some of it with, and he did.
Yeah.
He captured
yeah.
some of it, you know. And,
well, and just so you know, he was writing in response to, we had this amazing conversation, and I totally went, like, into the space in, like, you know, 3.9 seconds. I was like, I want to draw. because we were having this amazing conversation. I could feel the energy. My whole body was warm. I had some tingling going on, and I was like, oh, I want to create today, but it was a forced creation. Because as soon as I got off the computer and sat down to do this, it felt flat. It felt mental. It didn't feel fun. And I came back to him, and I went, what was I thinking? And that was his response to me trying to do it mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you picked up on it, because that's exactly what you were sharing, is that, you know, he was explaining how the mind was in it, but because he said later on, did you, you know, he goes, Goldie, did you become one with the universe? Which was a great play from, you know, that book, Goldilicious.
Yes.
And I went, you know, it's funny. I was one with the universe when I was speaking with you, but when I went to express
right,
it on the paper,
right.
I completely became a head case, and it became phony, and I could feel it, and, you know, hence I didn't post anything. And
Well, it's a definite dance.
And it's not a dance that can be forced.
It's just
got to be done for the joy of doing it, not to produce something.
No, but the attempt is noble.
Yeah. Yes, noble, but, you know, it didn't produce something that I got. Because there have been times, like, when I'm with the kids, I'll draw just because, you know, they're playing, you know, something with their dog, you know, like, because a lot of times we'll just all kind of do our things separately.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in the room with the kids and in their imagination, like, they could be playing with, like, Sahana loves teacups and the babies, and she plays mom, and Anya likes playing store or teacher. But it's like, it's tangible. The energy in the room from them being in their imaginations, you know, I just sit at the table and just start, it's almost like automatic writing, to be honest. That's where, like, those pictures like that starburst thing came out of, and certain spiral stuff, and I can tell I'm empathically connected to the girls in their imagination, which connects me in my imagination, which is also what made it feel so wonderful to have the conversation with Simon. He's very connected to his imagination. When I speak with Janine, so are you. I feel very comforted in the realm of imagination. Very, not just comforted, inspired. I mean, truly, I mean, it's like having muses. It's a beautiful experience to experience yourself with that. And it was funny because, you know, I should have just stayed and continued to have the conversation with Simon, but there was something in my head that went, produce! It was like, I know what those, you know, the people who get contracts and goes, you have to make 3 albums in 3 years, you know, or... And it's like, wow, to have
hard.
The pressure, to have to produce on demand is almost impossible. And that's why I think a lot, you know, they end up producing, you know, that's why many people's second and or third albums, like, were never as good as the first one, because it was, you know, the pressure to do it, you know, under a contract or something. And it doesn't work that way.
No, creativity forced. You know, I think people get skilled at producing, but it's different. That, to me, is different than, you know, these creations that are natural and you get, you know, you lose yourself and you're driven. You know, something like either your passion or your soul or, you know, is drawing you, like that magnetic thing I was talking about, where you're being, as opposed to, you know,
mental
sit down and produce.
I was definitely
looking at the actual meaning of a muse, because I think
it is so great
that you know, I think that so many artists and writers and poets have always had, and musicians have always had muses, that they really have, and but not really funny.
And I believe it's telepathy that is what the muse is really. You know what I'm saying? It's connecting to another person's presence and utilizing their experiences into your experiences.
Oh, this is so great. This is really one of the meanings of the muse, or to muse, is to be absent in mind.
Nice. Exactly.
Isn't that great?
That's right on time.
That is so great.
Very nice.
Another
Very nice.
One, Muse, is a guiding spirit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I love that, to be absent in mind. That is so pretty.
Mm.
So
that's true art. That is definitely true art.
And of course, the term refers to a source of inspiration.
Right.
So,
So
Simon's muse. You're a muse.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the kids are my muse. I have a lot. Nature is my muse.
A great compliment is to be a muse for someone. It really is.
Well, you're also a muse for me, Janine. I mean, you're welcome. Thank you. I mean, and your muse is really like what I'm so clear with you is you help me understand me. I mean, you just help me see a divine picture of myself that, you know, when you share it with me, there's just no arguing with it. I can feel and see what you see in me, but I couldn't see it just looking at me. It's like, you'll drop these golden nuggets of wisdom that just explode into my being. It's like, wow. Yeah, it's pretty fabulous.
That's
basically
great.
Christmas every day. It's the truth.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, it's an honor. And
you're the gift that keeps on giving. Sorry.
It's so funny.
For an Amex card.
It's so funny that I was looking at the tree that, I painted and you posted on the Mystical Mother Earth show, right?
Yeah, the fourth door, correct?
Yeah, and then I was just thinking, isn't that funny that I was talking that, now it was like as if I was, a new tree is growing from me. Out of my heart.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's another tree,
Yeah.
And, it's just so funny that I'm looking at that picture of the tree right now because I'm looking at the computer and it's like, oh, a new tree. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of newness coming in. And we should, all of us congruently and together trust that what's coming in is magical and beautiful and powerful and balanced, really, really balanced. And, there's no greater effect than an energy can have than being balanced. I mean, like, that's where ultimately, fairness is a state of balance. And I'm not talking about fairness that you can buy and fairness that is, clearly biased. I'm talking about, the true understanding that what comes around goes around and, the universe is always looking. You can't slide nothing past the universe. I mean, in other words, and to genuinely feel inside of you that life is fair and life is kind and life is good because it is. Because it is. I mean, the contract was so we weren't to experience that, and now the contract is that we are. And, if you're attuned to it, it's going to be, it's already amazing. I mean, people say to me, so when do you think the ascension is going to start? I'm like, well, Jesus, I don't know, 16 years ago for me, when's it going to start for you? I can't even imagine it. You saying that because it's not a one-day event. It's not December 21st. We're all going to ascend. I'm not saying that things won't happen on that day, but the ascension, like anything else based in the cosmos, is on its own divine time. And look at the tree. The tree grows, exactly. It's stages. We go through stages and different levels of, gestation. But it's not a, you don't draw a line in the sand and jump over and go, I've ascended, I'm a fifth dimensional being. I mean, maybe in the other dimensions we do that, but in the physical dimension, we have to acknowledge time however warped it is still a part of this dimension. So
yeah.
As long as that's the case, things take time to be experienced.
Yeah, and
but
I think,
go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that for me, when people ask that question, it's funny because even with that whole thing about time, I just feel like in so many ways, a lot of us is already, I mean, truly, the future is occurring. It sounds so strange, but the future is occurring in the present time because I just feel like we've, like that enveloping thing that Nassim talks about, I just feel like you really can't even talk about, oh, it's coming. It is. It's already here. In fact, it's been here for a while. It's been here for a while.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I was just looking up the symbol for the walnut tree.
Oh, nice. What is the symbol for that?
Respectable wealth, strength, and the fullness of life.
The symbol. Oh, it's a wisdom. Say that again.
I was just looking up, having fun looking up.
Yeah, I love it.
Because I was just talking about.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence you chose, whether subconsciously or whatever, the walnut tree. That's what, read those qualities again, please.
The symbol for respectable wealth, strength, and the fullness of life.
Wow.
Yeah.
You lucky little walnut.
No.
I want some of your walnuts, babe.
Roasted walnut.
Roasting on an open fire, of course.
Oh, no, that's chestnut.
Oh, chestnuts. Oh, God bless it. What would I know? I'm just some old Jew.
No.
Right, that is
chestnuts. No, it's fun.
Yeah. So, all right. You want to give your contact information, sweetie?
Sure. I have two websites. One is my name, jlkimmel.com, and please feel free to email me and check out my art and read about my my transformations and things. And the other one is springtreepress.com, and it's also a fun website to look at the books on there and the posters.
Definitely. The posters are fabulous. And aren't you always adding new ones because of the new paintings and prints that you do?
Yeah, I just added, it's really beautiful. In jlkimmel.com, in the art section, there's a subsection called Wilderness, and I just added 6 new wilderness paintings. And, I just love them. And one of them is called The Shimmering Forest. And and it's funny because when I added them to the website just recently, it just seemed like the website got a fresh dose of life. So
nice.
So thank you.
No, oh, you're very welcome. Yeah. And you're available for counseling or life coaching, or I'm not sure what you're calling.
If anyone wants to, consider doing some therapy and transformation work, I am available for that.
There you go. And I'm telling you, she's way available for that. meaning she really shows up. I am living proof of that. So,
thank you.
I couldn't be more delighted. Yes. And, and just to say it again, I'm actually going to say from every show from this point forward, me and Janine will be doing a New Year's Eve show. So if you want to join us, it would be fabulous. This, at the very least, the preparation would just be if you can write yourself some vows, and it would be phenomenal if you called in and shared the vows with us on the air.
Mm.
So, it'll be a mass wedding. Kind of like the Mooney style, but a little more individuality. All right, so you can find me here at the Mystical Mother Earth Show, but it's at blogtalkradio.com/anotherrealityshow. And Another Reality Show is on Thursday nights, 8 to 10. I'm so glad you guys are here and sharing this amazing time.
Who's going to be on Thursday's show?
Thursday show will be Nancy Ward, the fabulous Nancy Lila Ward. She's going to do some channeling. We're going to discuss the her December newsletter. She's right on. I really, last time she was on, we had a great show, and I resonate with her message. She's very much in tune with, like, the stuff me and Janine talk about as well. So I was supposed to have Peter Spinagotti, but he canceled today, and Nancy was gracious enough to fill in. So I'm pretty excited about having her on.
Yeah, she was great last time.
She was great. And she's reaching out, actually, to have a friendship and a genuine relationship with me. And
yeah.
I'm honored by that. I enjoy her, so I look forward to getting to know her better and having her on as a regular.
Yeah.
So,
Well, thank you.
Well,
thank you, everybody.
No, you're very welcome, babe. Very welcome. There's much love here, and, you know, chin up, everybody. We're all getting our asses kicked. and we're all flipping our beliefs to understand that
Yay,
it's a beautiful experience. Yeah. Yeah. So I love everybody. I can't wait till Thursday night. And until then, see you on Facebook. See you in the hemisphere, the atmosphere, the cosmic sphere. I'll just see you out there.
All right.
I love you guys.
Everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Good night, Janine. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you all. Daddy go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
The youngster over here, what's the worst one?